What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Literate Lessons, episode 203. I'm a second take, and I'm joined today by the wonderful, the illustrious, the magnificent executive producer, Carl. Welcome back, buddy.
It is good to be back. I didn't get to watch any of this, so it'll be fun to talk about an event. I have no clue what's going on.
I watched a good bit of it, so we're going to carry. Charlotte Regionals, one of the biggest, actually the biggest VGC event we've ever had. 845 players in Masters, according to the data, the results at LabMouse, or at least 845 players who finished the tournament.
About to say 845 who submitted teams.
Yes. But even then, first ever VGC event to have 15 rounds, 9 rounds of day 1 Swiss, 6 rounds of day 2 Swiss. And it was just a lot of Pokemon. It was a fun time. I really enjoy this format. And let's dive right into this format with the day 1 usage stats. So what is the first thing that pops out to you on this list?
Single Strike Urshifu being 21%. That's the first big one.
Why not have one bear when you can have two bear?
I think part of the Single Strike Urshifu is just mainly the response to, hey, priority's good, so people are going to play these Pokemon. It's the answer to the answer.
Yeah.
It's the next leveling, I think, is what we're starting to see for this format. Because you can see for Rigorafe over here at 16.5% in day 1 usage. And that just kind of tells me that, hey, this Pokemon's probably going to be pretty popular because there's things like Entei and Chienpao running around. Well, how do I beat this Pokemon? So I have to have this Pokemon. And that's what a lot of the metagaming starts to get into play when you're starting to think about team building for an event and something like that. You start to like try to next up the next thing. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad, because sometimes you'll get next up and sometimes you're the one getting next up. And so it's a whole lot of fun of just trying to
figure out,
jump around and figure out what level your opponent's on.
Yeah. I call this day 1, the Noah's Ark of top 12. So we have two long neck boys, two daddy genies, two bears, two fire types, two like pixie fairy girlies,
and then two offensive hitters,
and then a mushroom and a Chienpao.
No. So what you have here is redirecting grass types.
Yep.
And then offensive powerhouses.
Yeah, you can go there too. It's. I think the biggest surprise for me is the fact that Lando I, with how poor of a conversion rate it had at Portland, was still a Pokemon people brought in for Charlotte. It's a good Pokemon, don't get me wrong. I didn't expect it to be a top 12 Pokemon. Like, going into the event, I kind of expected more so like Dragonite to be there. I know earlier in the day you and I were talking, I was a little shocked that King Gambit made top 12 day 2, but after thinking about it, yeah, King Gambit is like a very popular Pokemon that should be there. Honestly, a little surprised that Indeedee didn't break into the top 12. It's a Pokemon, like, we'll see, if, for those of you who watched, that Indeedee Iron Crown archetype was very popular in stream, and it was a popular composition overall. So with Frigoraph being in the top 12, I was a little surprised that we also didn't see the Psychic Terrain Setter there as well.
So, granted, this is only top 12. Indeedee could be lurking right off the end there. We don't know for sure. If you go to the day 2 usage, though, Indeedee is on this list.
Yes.
Indeedee is there at 17.3, along with Lando I.
Yeah. You and I looked at this like when we were doing our studying right before. We did see that Lando I, a lot of its top 12, the conversion rate was still god awful. It's just that
It had like a 10% conversion rate or something silly.
Yeah.
Going from day 1 to day 2.
There were so many so many Lando I's there that it's just law of large numbers.
The big thing there is what Lando I teams normally are attached to.
And it's all of the Pokemon in the first row.
Yeah, like Fluttermane, Ogre Pawn, Incineroar probably, Rapid Strike Urshifu, things like that. Like, if they're attached to Pokemon that are notoriously going to do well anyway, even without Landorus being a contributing part of the team, Landorus is still going to convert enough to where it gets to these numbers, which there were 75 day two people. So doing quick math off the top of my head, that's 13 Landorus I out of the whatever were in day one. Moving on.
Yeah. I think it, just other things to know, Amoongus Lab Mouse, Tim posted this earlier that Amoongus had in for a Pokemon with a 1% usage rate or higher, Amoongus had one of the best conversion rates, jumping all the way to fourth place, tying with Single Strike Urshifu. Carl, like,
I see Single Strike Urshifu.
Like, the last time I felt like the Pokemon was this Single Strike was this good was back in like 2020 in Series 7 when everyone was playing Nutcore. And that was like the first time everyone was like, oh yeah, this Pokemon's kind of like freaking busted. And though, like, in all of the non-Dynamax formats, everyone's like, oh no, the Rapid Strike's better. And now we're at a point where Single Strike, it's there.
Like I said, it's the next leveling of the situation. Single Strike Urshifu hits Incineroar. Single Strike Urshifu can hit Frigirap. It hits Indeedee. Technically, I guess if you want to look at it, it can hit King Gambit. Wicked Blow is a hell of a drug. But this is literally the next leveling of the next level, right? It's like priority bad. It's a bad team now because all of these Pokemon are there to stop priority spam. Yeah. How do you beat the teams that are priority spamming? You play Single Strike Urshifu or King Gambit, Dark-type Pokemon that don't need Sucker Punch in order to do all their damage.
Yeah, I think like one of the very interesting parts with that, I know Alex Underhill was on Tub, and he was like, yeah, I just dodged the Frigiraffs. My Frigiraff matchup is bad. Don't use my team, because this result is going to make everyone use Frigiraff at the next event, and you're not going to convert. Like, that Chiantei combo just completely fell off. A horrendous conversion rate for a team that was like the talk of the town 2 weeks ago. And that's just how the meta game goes. And I'm not saying that Chiantei is a bad composition, not whatsoever. It's just not its time. This format is Reg C, but just like all of the Pokemon are stronger in terms of the number of teams that are
the power
available.
Level just shifted slightly up. That's pretty much what this format is.
And when you look at what Reg C was, you know, you'd have like a 2-3 week span. Like, well, then Chien Pao, Dragonite, very good. Then it would drop off. Then it would come back. Like, everything goes, like, it's a format where there's going to be a dozen teams, and they're like, they'll, like, for each event, five teams of that dozen are going to be, like, the teams of the week, and then they'll get countered by the five other, like, four or five other teams that do well against those, and it's just going to be a cycle, which for a, believe a four-month format. I think we're playing this. Yeah, it is a four-month
format. It's 4 months, yeah. It ends in April. End of April, end of May, yeah.
Yeah, that's I think, a very good thing. One of the biggest issues with Regulation E was that it was very much, in the grand scheme of things, a one-team format, and there were some little tweaks to those teams. It wasn't like the exact six Pokemon, but it was, a lot of the teams were relatively the same idea. I think we're going to have more varied regional winners this go around, which is going to just make playing the format for 4 months a lot more fun and enjoyable.
I don't know if we'll have a lot of variation beyond, like, this next couple weeks are probably going to be a lot of the same of what we're seeing right now. Pokemon metas tend to usually take time to swap over and find new things. Comfort's very popular in Pokemon. Whereas in like other games, where you'll see people swap things really, really fast to kind of get a leg up because you need that leg up. Pokemon's got so much extra RNG based on like damage rolls and how did you get a crit or not. I feel like people will still probably stick to what they know rather than try and reinvent the wheel on a lot of these teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I think more so what I'm saying is it was the weekend of Third Raft Blood Moon. In 2 weeks at Knoxville, it's going to be one of these already standardized teams that might have a better matchup into the Third Raft Blood Moon. And that's what I'm saying, where it might go rock, paper, scissors, sort of, with the already established teams. Which, again, like, there's a lot of teams out there. When we get into looking at the teams in a moment, you will see that there's even, like, the set archetypes are, like, the teams within each archetype are very different.
Yeah. Most of the time.
I'm sure it's mostly.
There's a couple of these teams that, like, they're talking about, we'll talk about here in a second, like, they're pretty similar.
Hmm.
There's just, like, an option choice here or there that probably is player preference.
Yeah.
So let's see here. Let's go with Wolf's team first.
You're still sharing the...
Yeah, we haven't gotten that far yet.
Oh, there we go. So congratulations to Wolf Glick for winning the Charlotte Regionals, earning his Worlds qualifier. That 3 to 4 month hiatus you took definitely was worth it.
Let's be honest, it's just the script writers being lazy.
Yeah, we had Chuppa almost win the first event of the year on the West Coast, and then Wolf wins the largest event largest event ever in the Southeastern United States with, like, a funny psychic type.
It's literally just rinse and repeat from last year.
You know,
like, this was literally last season. Yeah, it was. There were a lot of
rookies last year. But, what are your thoughts on the team?
It looks just like a standard team. Just like, here's my fire, water, grass core of Pokemon that can deal damage. Here's my Fluttermane. I have Ferrigarath to stop priority spam. Like, there's not a there, like, on its face value, there's not a whole lot to explain that's not already, like, you can infer from just looking at it.
Watching it play.
There's the clear fast mode, there's the clear trick room stuff.
Mm.
Like, none of this is crazy off the wall. You need Ogre Pond to be an actual fire and or grass type sometimes, because you have Incineroar, who's not really a fire type a lot of the time. A lot of the time it's just a fake out bot. And Rillaboom kind of does the same thing sometimes, of just being like fake out U-turn, because you need that interaction to go alongside whatever you got next to it.
Yeah.
So
I think, like, the interesting parts of the team, one of the things we sadly didn't see really at all on stream was the Calmine Terragrass Fluttermane. That was the Fluttermane set that we used in the Hirofumi team back in Regulation D. And the Calm Mind defensive Terra Flutter really hasn't been something we've seen since. And I think, like, the other things that are, like, again, off the wall would be the Swords Dance over Follow Me on Ogre Pond. A lot of people have been running Follow Me even on their Heartflame Ogre Ponds. The Throat Spray on Ferrigarath, which is an item that we really haven't seen on Ferrigarath since, like, Regulation B, Regulation C. People go with, like, Goggles, Rocky Helmet, or, like, a Berry on that Pokemon more than they've been going with this offensive set with Throat Spray. And then the Terra Ghost on Incineroar as well, which I'm assuming is to avoid other fake outs.
It tells you that, hey, my Incineroar is slow for Trick Room.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much the long and the short of it there. Like, I want to not die to close combat. I don't want to get fake outed. I want to be able to do my thing, because I need my fake out to go off most of the time, because my Ferrigarath needs to set up Trick Room and do its thing. So I'm Terra Ghost. I don't have to worry about that now. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that, like, I mean, I've talked to Aaron Traylor about is, like, when him and Wolf are looking at, like, how they build teams, again, it's like, what's your fast mode? What's your slow mode? What's your speed control? And the fast mode is very clear on this team. Like, the Urshifu Scarfed the Fluttermane is always going to be a fast Pokemon, and Heartflame is relatively fast. With the slow mode, though, with this Fergraph and the clearly slow Incineroar, is that the Fergraph itself is its damage with the Throat Spray Hyper Voice. I know some other people have tried, like, Nasty Plot Fergraph to do sort of the same exact thing, where, like, the Fergraph can put out damage in Trick Room, but the Throat Spray, it just... I know it's plus one, and it's supposed to do more damage, but it always did more damage than I expected. Every single time that thing clicked an attack, I'm like, wow, that was a lot more than I ever thought. And maybe that's, yeah, like, my experience. I play a lot of Fergraph Blood Moon Ursaluna. My Fergraph's just straight up bulk, so it doesn't do any damage.
So that's the other thing, right, is shit. Your Fergraph is bulk because you need it to be bulk. You don't need the extra damage that the Fergraphs can bring, because you have Blood Moon Ursaluna to play on your trigger. Yeah. That's the other kicker to this one. Wolf doesn't have that. Wolf needs that Trick Room damage because his Trick Room mode is Rillaboom. My power just flickered. Where was I?
No, we're Rillaboom. Not doing this again. We're not doing
Trick Room mode was Rillaboom, which it just works as priority mon. Incineroar, who's not really a big damage dealer to begin with, and then you usually probably have either Ogerpon Hearthflame, Urshifu, or Fluttermane in the back to be like a cleanup after Trick Room's over, right? And yeah. So you, Wolfie needs that. I need that extra damage. And that's what his Ferrigraph's role is on this team, is it is, I could set Trick Room if I need to, but I also just can do damage if I need to. Yeah, Whereas when we go to the second place team, yep, theirs is a bulky Fergraph.
This is the one that, yeah, this is the sort of Fergraph that people are going to be more accustomed to seeing over the last metagame.
So let's go to Nicholas Donnelly's team here.
And congratulations to Nick, from what we've heard, like, just on stream and everything. This was his first day, too. A lot of 6-3s on his on his resume. And I think one of the crazy thing is, so Nick lost 3 sets the entire day, like, tournament. He lost round 9 of day 1 of Swiss against Wolf Glick. He lost his stream match on day 2. Against Swiss, against Wolf Glick, and then he lost finals against Wolf Glick. Yeah. And apparently all 3 of those sets went to game 3. So, like, in the span of 2 days, that's 9 games against the same team and the same player. And you could even tell, like, watching the finals, each game...
It creates a different mental around the game entirely. Because you've played it 2 other times before this.
Yeah. And each game was so close where it honestly felt like there were points where I thought, like, either player could win. Like, game 2, Wolf picked up his Fergraph went and picked up a critical hit into Nicholas's Ursaluna, which meant that the next attack it was going to use, if it got an attack off, it was going to faint because of the Life Orb chip. And initially I thought, Wolf's got it, 2 games. And Nick ended up being able to win that set. Off the back of his Urshifu single strike, so, like, yep. And his Heartflame Ogerpon. So, like, it was just, honestly, if you guys have not watched the finals yet, our listeners, watch this finals. It's probably some of the best VGC I've watched in a long while. It was a great set, and it literally came down to not just the plays that they were making in terms of, like, making the right play, but when you've played a matchup this often and this many times against such a high-level player, it just comes down to being able to out-mental them.
You have to be able to understand that I know their plays that they should go for. This might be the play that they probably go for. It creates all these extra questions that you have to think about because you've played the matchup. Usually you only ever play the matchup twice, right? You don't ever think about having to play it a third time.
No.
Because we end up having an extra 6 rounds of Swiss where you ended up having to be at the end again against Wolf Glick, right? That's surprising that even through the other 6 rounds of Swiss that they ended up getting paired again. usually they try to avoid that.
I think it's like once it happens, like on the day two, it's they just throw everything back in. It happens. Some of the other things on this team that I really do like is the clear amulet on the Iron Hands.
Iron Hands, yep.
This is the Incineroar
answer now. Yeah. Like you had. I asked Carter this way back when we were getting ready to put Incineroar into the game. It's just like, how does Iron Hands adapt to a format where Incineroar can come in and pretty much have your damage that you're already not dealing?
Yep.
And this is the check. This is the answer. It's just like, you just have to play Clear Amulet now. You can't play Assault Vest anymore. Say that you can. You can play Assault Vest. You just have to know that you are not winning against the Incineroar anytime.
Yeah, or you at least have to think of, like, I need to make my Iron Hands fast enough to outspeed the Incineroar.
Which, that's a lot. That's a lot of speed investment.
Yeah, because one of the best counterplays into the Iron Hands with Incineroar is to go in with the Intimidate and then Parting Shot into it, and especially if you fake out into the hand, you can go switch in, Intimidate, fake out, Parting Shot, and now the Iron Hands hasn't moved, and it's minus two. It's doing nothing.
Exactly. And that was the kicker to that. I kept telling him, like every time I tell Carter that, I'm just like, Iron Hands doesn't do anything if it's still the Assault Vest set, because you're just minus two, minus three, going into being able finally to damage something, and you're doing negligible damage at best. The notable thing on this one, they also dropped Drain Punch for close combat. I wonder if that number picks up Incineroars now, because with the Clear Amulet, you don't have to worry about Intimidate, so now you have a decent answer to just like gut check most Incineroars, just like, did you do your calcs properly? And just pop them one time and see if they live it or not.
Yeah, I'm just going to pull up our handy dandy calculator. Because I am very curious.
Beyond that, a lot of this is just the same stuff we saw from the Ursaluna teams before, right? It's just like, here's Frigoraf, here's Single Strike, here's Ursaluna, here's Fire type. Like, move on with your day.
Yeah, so assuming it's a 156 plot, like Adamant Iron Hands, I'm just taking like just the general spread. 156 plus Iron Hands into a 236 HP, 20 defense Incineroar, it's a guaranteed OKO.
Yeah, which I'm about is, to say. Like, yeah. There's got to be a world where that just picks it up every time, right?
So that's like, even you can go even lower. Even if you just go to 76, which is the
first
76
bump.
Attack, which is the first bump, you're still picking it up all the time. So yeah, this is the Incineroar delete button. What I also think is very interesting with this team is that the Blood Moon Ursaluna actually is not min speed.
You have Tailwind. You want to be able to abuse both, right?
Yeah, Nicholas's Ursaluna was actually able to outspeed without the Tailwind. Was able to outspeed Wolf's Incineroar, which, as we said earlier, probably on
Wolf's
the slower
was likely
side to begin
min
with,
speed or pretty close to it. Definitely no investment for sure.
Yeah, which again, it's like the Earth Power into the from Ursaluna into the Incineroar. You're picking that up. And if they try to get cheeky with a Terra, a lot of things don't live a Terra normal life orb boosted Blood Moon. And the things that live that probably die when you throw on the Helping Hand.
Yeah, when you just add on top of that another plus whatever from Helping Hand, it's just like, you're not living this hit. The fact that Blood Moon just gets to ignore the type stuff too with Mind's Eye is really huge. It's like, I was going to make the comment about just like, Iron Hands, the reason Wolf's Incineroar gets to do so well into this team is because it is that Terra Ghost. The Iron Hands delete button doesn't really work there. The Blood Moon still can hit you with
the Blood Moon delete button.
You
still
are
fun.
Sad. But
yeah,
that is an option to look forward to it later on. Is like, maybe Terra Ghost Incineroar might be the play.
There's so many good Terras for the Pokemon, like Terra Grass, Terra Dragon, Terra Water, Terra Ghost.
My current favorites are Grass, if I'm not playing Goggles. And then my second favorite usually is Water, just to resist Surging Strikes.
I've played the Terra Dragon on, I believe, so when I was using the Latias, my Latias balance team, I used the Terra Dragon. And then recently, the Photograph Blood Moon team uses a Terra Grass AV. The big thing for the Terra Grass on that team is because one of the things, and I think one of the reasons why Amoongus had such a great conversion rate, is one of the biggest counters into these Blood Moon Photograph teams, and to an extent, the Iron Crown teams as well, is Amoongus being able to sit in the Trick Room and Spore, redirect, just be an absolute menace. It's really difficult into it, and so I do think, like, if we are, like, one of the things I will expect for our next event is that the Amoongus number is going to be, like, there's going to be a lot of Amoongus out there, specifically to give these teams a lot of issues.
Yep, that's why you see things like Terra Grass on these Iron Hands, and
yep,
safety goggles on Wolves and Cineroar, and things like that. Like, they knew to prepare for Amoongus. Like, Amoongus is a problem.
Even stuff like having Tornadus and Heartflame Ogerpon as pretty much like your other ways where it's like Terra or I'm deleting you.
Yeah, like you have to Terra this Pokemon, and which makes it a very ineffective Terra. Like, hopefully you have a Terra where you can resist one of these two hits. Because, like, if your Terra Steel, Ogerpon gets you. If your Terra, like, Water, Ogerpon still gets you. And so it's going to be a lot of cat and mouse trying to see what Amoongus ends up doing. There might be a world where Amoongus just goes to Terra Poison.
Honestly,
just keeps the fairy resist, and
yeah,
now it just is a ground and a psychic weakness.
Which
there might, like, be a world where that's optimal.
There's not a lot of, I mean, Photograph could run the psychic coverage, but some of them, like, they might go for protect, they might go for, I mean, psychic noise is another item that they use. Nicholas's, he actually has the imprisoned D Gleam version.
Which, if they're running psychic, they're getting you anyway.
Yeah.
Like that, at that point, you just gotta chalk that up to a matchup loss, and hopefully you can deal with Ferrigraph a different way. But yeah. Definitely, something to keep an eye on later on in later formats is how well Amoongus does into these Trick Room teams.
Yeah.
Let's go on to Luca's team.
Luca, again, using his patent King Gambit. This is a team that I kind of had a bit of experience with. So for some reason, pretty much everyone in New England, specifically Massachusetts players, were like, hey, we're all just going to play Gouging Fire. And it's, what was it? So, Grant Laird, Zap VGC, Wims VGC, and my very dear friend Jacob, fellow Crier, all three of them brought the exact same six. It's pretty much the Luca team. However, I don't think they have a Rillaboom, and I know that they have they brought Metagross as their steel type instead of the King Gambit, but it was pretty much like four of the six were the same thing. It was the same idea. Gouging Fire is insanely bulky with the booster energy, and you go booster speed, you're able to get off super fast Howl, super fast Breaking Swipes, and every single Pokemon on this team besides Fluttermane loves getting Howl next to it.
Yeah.
To boost everything. And one of the other, like, Lucas said this in one of his, like, winners interviews, where he had games where just clicking, like, Breaking Swipe on Gouging Fire next to King Gambit, which already had a great physical defense, he just was able to make a board state where his opponent was never able to
damage. Yeah, you just can't break through it, right? Like,
yeah. And the Gambit would just pick off the Pokemon one by one. This is a super cool archetype. It's not one, like, it wasn't one that was, like, on everyone's formats. I knew a lot about it just because of what I'm seeing locally. Luca's not from my region, But if he was, he'd fit right in.
I'm about to say, yeah, they'd fit right in here.
Yeah, because I think even like Aaron Traylor brought Gouging Fire.
Looking through the rest of the six here, Rillaboom's pretty standard. The Fluttermane's pretty standard. I get to talk about Terra Stellar Chen Pao now, finally, after hyping it up with y'all for feels like weeks now. This thing deals so much damage. Oh my god. It is... You thought, like, Terra Fairy Fluttermane was scary? Terra Stellar Chen Pao just picks up KOs it shouldn't be picking up. Like, ever.
I think one of the cool things as well is that it's the Icicle Crash as well. So a lot of people would be like, oh, I'm running Icicle Crash over Ice Spinner so I can do more damage. And Luca's like, not enough. I'm howling.
Not enough. Need
I'm,
more.
I'm going, no, I'm so going Stellar.
There's probably a role where Icicle Crash probably picks up a very specific KO, and that's why they do it with this one. In my opinion, I do like the Ice Spinner with Stellar Terra. There's so much terrain you want to be able to beat with Chen Pao, specifically just like Ndidi, Rillaboom. You want to be able to do that. You want to be able to take that out a lot of the time. But that's just like personal preference at this point. But just the fact that you can Stellar Terra, you get to hit Sacred Sword one time, Icicle Crash or Ice Spinner one time, Sucker Punch one time. Like, that's, you're doing a lot of damage even without the Terra. And so if you're just like, if you're unsure of the KO roll of like, I don't know if I could pick this up, you have the backup of, I click the Stellar Terra button and then I get to KO you. Like, this will pick up that KO most of the time.
I think, like, just looking at on my end, maybe it's a situation where he wants to have that ice type coverage and not get rid of his own Rillaboom.
That's the other like terrain. Other weird thing, but at that point you just pivot the Rillaboom out and you just reset terrain. Like
that's probably it. I think like again, that was like the other thing that I thought of, like why he wouldn't have used it. The other thing, like the Perish Song on the Specs Flutter, I always like seeing the tech move that is like the non-coverage or like non-stab tech move on the Specs Flutters. Apparently, there were a lot of protect specs, on the, like that were running.
I mean,
out
that's a thing you can do in this format. We're not locked in like we were with Dynamax and whatnot. It's just like you want to be able to, sometimes you just want to be able to scout. Sometimes you can force a Terra because you have a Fluttermane with choice specs sitting across from your opponent. And they think you're just going to click into the damage move. It makes them think twice. Because if you just lead Flutter and then you have that specs protect option, I guess, if you want to call it that, it puts that in the back of your opponent's mind. Well, they could just click protect here and then I'm screwed because I showed my hand. I wasted a turn focusing into that Fluttermane. So now I like, do I focus it down still? Do they swap it out? Do they click protect? Do they just Terra Fairy and click the Moonblast button and KO me? It puts that extra layer of mental pressure on your opponent when you're doing stuff like that. In this situation, the Perish Song is really cool because this team picks up KOs very quickly. Like, you pick up KOs very quickly with this team.
You can easily get into that, like, 3v2, click Perish, you have three more turns, good luck, buddy.
Like, you have to KO three Mons in two turns, in three turns, like, good luck. I have all of these Protects on my team, good luck.
Yeah, there are a lot that you have... Yeah, you have four protects on the team. And I mean, even that, it's like one of the protects with Gouging Fire. If you attack into that and you get the burn, then you're
doing reduced damage.
My protect doesn't matter. You're just not doing anything to begin with.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is again super great team. Love the fact that Luca has latched on, like it's a guy who's latched onto a specific Pokemon during this generation in the King Gambit and has just been, from what it seems like, tournament to tournament, how do I make my signature Pokemon do well? How do I support it?
Yeah.
And he did say like that the Gouging Fire was the first idea with it, and King Gambit is the like one of the best partners for it. Like, it takes advantage of the HAL so much. We were seeing it in Regulations B and C with the HAL Arcanine. Mm-hmm. Well, the Gouging Fire,
Gouging Fire is just better Arcanine confirmed.
Yeah, sort of. And I mean, we haven't seen an Arcanine in a very, well, we haven't seen a Kantonian Arcanine in a very long time.
Yeah, the minute we got Hisuian Arcanine, Kantonian Arcanine is just like, chop liver, nope. Get out of here.
Yeah. Which I do think the next team has a Hisuian Arcanine.
I believe so. Should be this one? Yeah, it is this one.
It's a fourth. Okay, I couldn't remember if it was fourth or fifth.
It is this one.
Hisuian Arcanine, one of the Pokemon that we literally talked about last week, saying, yeah, this Pokemon's kind of underplayed right now and underutilized. Fourth place. I'm right sometimes.
I mean, to be fair, it top cut in Portland too, so is it really underutilized if it's still top cutting? Not really.
I was able to put it on the internet. I'm taking this victory lap. Like, between this and Fergraph being good, very, very, like great week for Ro. Like, amazing week for Ro.
I would say overall, Arcanine, like, when you guys were talking about it, you said Arcanine, I'm just like, Arcanine's still popular, guys. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, underrated and underused.
It wasn't, like, the usage stats weren't, like,
well, that's because high. New Toy Syndrome, though. That's not because Arcanine was bad. That's just, we have new toys.
I did say it was New Toy Syndrome. Those are my words. And it is a different Arcanine set than what we are used to. With the AV with Snarl, it's not the classic Choice Band, because the Choice Band is,
I will have you know, good sir, I was playing AV Hisuian Arcanine for a very long time.
No, I wasn't.
I'm about to say, y'all were playing Choice Band. I was playing Assault Vest and living every hit.
Yeah, I was playing Choice Band Head Smash and
and watching your Arcanines get demolished because you were locked into Head Smash.
Yeah, I got to play the fun game of what bar drops faster, my opponents or mine. Usually, yeah. It was the opponents.
Once. I like being able to live my hits. And this is my kind of Arcanine. I was wondering how long it would be until we got to see Snarl come back into the format. And seeing it on things like Arcanine, Archaludon, Incineroar might be able to bring it back here soon, depending on how the format kind of plays out. But again, this is kind of just the standard Ursaluna plus Squad and Fire type.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of crazy going on with this one. It's just like, Tailwind and Trick Room with my Tornadus and my Ferrigarath. I've got my Urshifu Dark. This time happens to be Choice Band Detect. We just talked about these bands.
Yeah, we just did. It's right there. The Ferrigarath in this one is also a Throat Spray, so we get a more offensive Ferrigarath instead of the supporty one. I mean, in general, I think Tail Room is really, really cool. You're able to play these multiple forms of speed control, and in doing so, you can, like, it's not like a direct 2-2-2 sort of idea where, with like, the nice part with a 2-2-2 team is you bring your counter to, like, I expect you to bring, like, this combo of Pokemon, and then you have the option to say, well, I went with the other one, and you brought the wrong Mons, and I'm just going to win immediately.
Yeah.
On lead, because you just brought the wrong four Pokemon.
And then that can also backfire on the same thing. It can backfire. Because
if they do bring the counter, then you're
kind of just, Pokemon don't do anything, and I only have two Pokemon left. That's the backfiring part of this. Like, the same thing happened with, like, the 2-2-2 Dondozo stuff. Mm. It's just like, if they happen to have a good answer into Dondozo, it kind of forces your hand into picking the other four. And so it became this game of chicken of, do they bring the Dondozo stuff to stop my Dondozo? Like, how easy is it for them to adapt into doing that? Can I afford to not bring it if they don't bring it? Blah, blah, blah. So it creates huge mental mind games in team select, and that's about all it is to it.
I think one of the nice things, though, with, like, more of this Tail Room style team is the fact that, like, you can bring Tornadus, Ferrigarath, and Blood Moon, and you're kind of fine. Like, you can click Tailwind and the Frigoraph is throat spray, like the throat spray hyper voice. We just talked about this with Wolf. It does more than you think it does.
Yep.
And the Blood Moon Ursaluna, we don't know, like, if it's probably not min speed. It is
probably very minimal invest or no invest, but not min speed zero. No.
But even then, like, with that Blood Moon Ursaluna at plus, like, you're hitting, if you're, like, just neutral 31 IV, you're hitting 144. That's going to outspeed, like,
that's faster than a lot of the base 80s that aren't in speed investment or anything like that.
And you're going, it's faster than you expect it to be, and you're able to get out that damage. And even, like, if the Tornadus goes down, you can have your Blood Moon next to your Icy Wind Specs Fluttermane right there. And now it's like they're going Icy Wind into Terra Normal, like Life Orb boosted Hyper Voice, and you're picking up 2K was a turn with that duo. It's a super super cool combo, to be quite honest. So when I was resetting for Blood Moon, I didn't actually have to reset. I just pulled zero speed, zero attack my first try. That was me winning the lottery in 2023. But now with a lot of these teams using the neutral one, you don't want to get rid of your min speed Blood Moon or something.
Yeah, don't get rid of it. Yeah. If you have it, just keep it.
I'm starting the process of playing through Violet again. Initially, it was to get another pair.
For Ursaluna specifically, you don't have to play through the whole story again.
Oh, I was going to do the whole story solely because I also want to get a pair of, a second pair of the Paradox, the Violet Paradox Mons. I do have a friend who they told me that they would go do the same thing on their Scarlet.
Oh, so you got somebody lined up to swap?
Yeah, so I have it lined up there. It's, I'm currently not using any teams with Gouging Fire or Raging Bolt, partially because I don't have them on hand. Which, like, honestly, I'm low-key praying that we just get
an event. That'd be nice.
At some point. Yeah, it would be very nice. It's probably not going to happen, but I would love it. But if that's not the case, like, I have it lined up, and I'm, like, thinking, like, while I'm at it, I might as well just get a new Blood Moon or Saluna so I can do both as well. Because, like, this is, like, I really like this team. Like Arbin's team and Nick's team were, like, are both super cool to me.
Let's see here. Fifth place is probably one of the more interesting teams, I would say, in the top cut.
Yeah, this has been something that's been popping up. It's a team that started popping up in the grassroots tours post-Portland. Tailwind plus Darkfu plus Meteor Beam, Glamora. Glamora is just better than
Meteor Beam. Glamora is such a huge upgrade for it. Meteor Beam in the game in general is a huge upgrade for Pokemon that have access to it.
It's so good.
It's not that it's just like so good. It's just like now that you actually have a strong special attacking rock move.
Yeah. But no, it's so like this Glamora, like Meteor, you are deleting Incineroar, you're wiping it from existence. Heartflame Ogerpon, Entei, don't know them. They're dead. I clicked Meteor Beam.
Well, to be fair, for Glamora, you don't have a hard time doing that anyway. But
this was more fun.
It is more fun. I do a lot of things with like Armor Rouge plus Meteor Beam is insane well. Because that's Pokemon needed that plus one.
Yeah.
Really bad.
But in general, like this Tailwind, Urshifu, Glamora team we mentioned not earlier, this is Gen 9 not. You aren't using Max Airstream for more Tornadus. You're just clicking Tailwind.
Yeah.
And then you're having your Poison Rock type holding a Meteor, holding a Power Herb with Meteor Beam, and your Single Strike Urshifu just blowing stuff up, and your other three Mons are just a Fire, Water, Grass, and they all do damage. Like, it's not like Feeny, Rotom Heat, and Kartana. It's Ogerpon, Wellspring, and Chiyu. And since you have a free slot, you also get to throw Fluttermane.
You just get to throw on the most popular Pokemon in the game, Fluttermane.
Yeah, which is also Chiyu's best friend. Like, you can do, like, you have the Tornadus lead with, like, Tornadus can literally lead with any of these Pokemon. You have the Flutter Chiyu lead. Ogre Pond Fluttermane is an amazing lead in itself. Ogre Pond next to any of these also works as well. You have the redirection to let the Glamora get a super safe Meteor Beam up, and then it starts going off with these plus one Earth powers and sludge bombs. You can just sit it, like, have, like, Urshifu Ogre Pond. Just click follow me, and I'm just going to start clicking Wicked Blow, and things are going to die. Yep. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Glamora always felt like it was in this weird spot item-wise, too, before Power Herb Meteor Beam. It's like, do you play Focus Sash? Do you play Assault Vest? Do you play... What item do you want to play on this Pokemon? Because there's nothing that's, like, screams best item for Glamora. Yeah. It's kind of just like, okay, so Glamora has a big four times weakness to something. I should probably play Sash because we're not going to live very long. Or, hey, this thing dies to a lot of special attackers. Probably should play Assault Vest just to get a little bit of extra bulk. Now we actually have a useful item. Like, it has... I expect to see Glamora on more teams now because it's not just taking up an item slot that you always need. Now it's just like, I could just throw Power or Meteor Beam on this thing anywhere, and I have an answer to a lot of problematic Pokemon.
Yeah, I know, again, I keep on referencing Tim Labmouse because he gave us a lot of really good data. Let me pull up this tweet, because he did mention Glamora, because Glamora was one of the Pokemon that, so Glamora was a Pokemon that I almost put on my list last week for, like, underutilized.
See, that's when you should have put on instead of the Suiting Arcanine.
So I said that, and they were like, no, go with the Arcanine, or at least that's how I remember it. I don't remember it. Glamora, honestly, like, Glamora is a Pokemon that I thought was good. It had an amazing conversion rate. In Portland, and again, it had a really good conversion rate, or just win rate. Just notes from Labmouse, Glamora's win rate is at 57.78%, and it's not a Pokemon that really, like, wasn't used. Like, there were a good bit of Glamoras that were being used in the format. This team of six that Steven used is, like, one of the most popular, I think it was, like, the second or third most popular, like, team of six that was brought to this tournament. I think this is, like, the standard tail room standard tailwind team of, like, right now, and the Mon having, like, winning well over half of its matches is absolutely crazy.
Yep. Okay, that brings us to what, sixth place?
Yeah.
This is our first Smeargle. Entei, and our very first Smeargle and Top Cut.
Yeah, first time Smeargle has Top Cut again on the Switch. This Smeargle Blood Moon team, it kind of popped up a little in Portland. There were a few players. Brian Herbert used it. Not this exact six. I think he had a tail room with Smeargle, but, like, I do believe that there, I actually believe it was Enzo back in Portland who was the one who used, like, this six where it was just Tailwind Ursaluna, and the Smeargle, you know, just does everything.
I find the Wide Guard interesting over things like Burning Bulwark or Spiky Shield or anything like that.
I think it's to stop, like, the opposing Icy Winds, Diagleams. Wygarde, it still is a very, very good move. And so, like, if I had to, like, guess, like, that was where it is. The Moody on Smeargle is slightly weird. I talked to Ryan, he ran Own Tempo. And when I talked to him about it, he went and said it was solely because he wanted to be able to guarantee his speed tiers turn over turn. He wanted it just.
That's the big thing for there. Like Smeargle is just like knowing what your speed is, knowing where you're going to be all the time.
Yeah. Moody did get severely nerfed because it can't boost your evasion anymore.
So, I don't know if I'd call that a buff or a nerf or what.
I call it a nerf.
I would probably. It's probably just neutral across the board because, like, cool, I got an evasion boost or I got an evasion decrease, but I feel like you would much rather always have a speed or an attack, defense, special attack, whatever boost versus an evasion boost in this game.
I think for the Smeargle, I think it would need the evasion more, but in general, yeah. Another thing, and so this is something that was on the team again in Portland, was the fact that it was a throat spray Blood Moon Ursaluna. In general, I'm not a huge fan of the of Throat Spray Blood Moon. I want my Blood Moon to do damage immediately. So, like, the Life Orb really, like, lets it do that.
You gotta have the nuke.
Yeah. The idea for this team is simply, like, Enzo isn't looking for, like, the Blood Moon is his main source of damage that for, like, that's immediate. And he does have the Follow Me on the Smeargle and also the super fast Spore Pressure. So you can use a turn to, like, click Hyper Voice and then have the consistent damage from that point forward. Ursaluna's on this team as well is probably a Pokemon that hits the field and it's not coming off. So you aren't losing that plus one once you get it set up.
This is also Ursaluna without Trick Room, like, at all.
Yep.
So this one might actually probably be faster than other Ursaluna just in general, because you're not playing for that Trick Room mode. And the Entei essentially is just Arcanine Light. Because this is literally the Arcanine archetype, right? It's just like Assault Vest, Terra Fairy, Sacred Fire, Fire Move, Extreme Speed, Rock or Ground Move, Terra Blast. Like, that's what Arcanine was doing before Entei. And that's what Entei is doing now.
Yeah, no, the Entei here, it's just, like, a generally good fire type. I think it works here. It is weird seeing it without the Jam Pow, but again, it's just to do damage. Like, Sacred Fire is always going to do a lot of damage.
I think in this situation, you're not after the Qian Pao nonsense because you don't want to just lose your Entei. You're playing this bulkier, longer game plan with your Entei, kind of wanting it to absorb hits and using Sacred Fire and Stomping Tantrum and your Terra Blast to kind of just, you chip away at things, and then Blood Moon Ursaluna just kind of gets a Throat Spray Hyper Voice off, or you get a Nasty Plot Make It Rain off, or you get a Wicked Blow off, and that's where your cleanup is.
Another interesting thing with the Golden Goat is that it's a metal coat with the Nasty Plot, which means that it really doesn't have a way, actually does not have a single way to recover, which a lot of the Nasty Plot Golden Goats, we've seen them with leftovers. So
it's been swapping closer to more metal coat than has been leftovers here lately.
Okay, just for the extra damage?
Yeah, it's just more immediate damage, so you don't have to click Nasty Plot every time.
Yeah.
It's also not like impacting, like, it's not like playing like Life Orb where you're impacting your HP total. So,
yeah, the only other thing I'd note with this is Grass Knot on the Tornadus, which is, again, just very interesting. Punish the Terra Water Pokemon. Honestly, it's a great tech into opposing Blood Moon or Saluna. You're getting that KO with that Grass Knot.
Yeah. That's a cool one. I like that a lot. I played Grass Knot on my Landorus a lot when I was playing like with Lando, just for just like random water types or random ground types that I couldn't really touch. And it's cool seeing that tech in other places.
Yeah, just looking at Torn, I'm actually curious. With the Tailwind set here, like, I don't know how you it's tough to say like how much bulk is on it, but if you're all you need on it is actually you need a decent bit of bulk. You actually, to pick up that Oko, you actually need a good bit of investment. You have to be modest to pick that up, so maybe it's a modest one, but still, like, you're chipping it enough.
Yeah, like, the way you're beating Ursaluna's most of the time is through just a chip and then a pickup. So just, like, a little bit of a 30% here, and then you pick it up, or 20%, and then you get a super effective attack off into it. Like, that's mostly how you're beating Ursaluna Blood Moon a lot of the time, because it is a very bulky Pokemon. You don't have to do a ton investment-wise to, like, live physical hits. Special hits, you definitely need that help, but, like physical hits, you'll live a lot of those no problem.
You're definitely picking up Urshifu though, which is fun.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one to have.
Yeah. Moving on to okay. the next team.
Next one. This is Toler Webb's 7th place team. This is our first actual look at like Iron Crown and DD in a top cut, right? Like this didn't make top cut in Portland.
I don't think so. I think it was close. Let me pull up Portland. But I do think it was like more so it was definitely a team that was on the rise, and to see it do well this week. Again, this was a team that popped up a lot on all of the online tours. I believe it was VR, four Iron Crown and DD teams made top 8. So like this was a duo that as a format, when the format dropped, we were like, okay, could this be good? And the initial fear with anyone was, well, Incineroar just beats this. And you're kind of right, it does.
Like, Incineroar does put this Pokemon, like, on notice. Like, this one's Terra Water. I've seen Terra Ground. You have to Terra in front of Incineroar. You cannot sit in front of that Pokemon.
So, I did actually work, one of my other team building groups, I worked with a player, Mia Gray, and Spack to Titan, now Twilight.
Twilight.
My kid.
Your kid, yeah, there you go.
So Mia brought pretty much this exact 6. The only difference was Chiyu as the fire type instead of Heartflame Ogerpon. And the big thing that we went with, which I wasn't a fan of, but it honestly worked out for her and it made sense, was we were still Terra Water defensively, but we went with Focus Blast over Terra Blast. And that was solely because you can pick up the KO onto the Incineroar. 70% of the time, you pick up the KO on the Incineroar without needing to Terra. And there were a few situations where she needed to Terra her Fluttermane to get other KOs. And mm-hmm. the ability for her to click Focus Blast and get rid of the Incineroar opened up the game for her for the Fluttermane next, like the Fluttermane Chiyu to just burn through everything else with Terra Fairy Moonblast.
That's a very dangerous game though with Focus.
You know, she made day two.
That means you're just running good. I will tell you for free. There'll be games where you run the opposite and you don't do well at all. Like,
so but like that is one of the things you can do with it though. Also, Incineroar isn't as common as we all thought it was going to be. It was only 30% or so day two.
Like, I mean, 30% of an 800-player tournament is still, like...
It's a lot, but it's not the 50-60% that I think a lot of people thought it was
going to be. Oh, God, no. No one was ever going to expect it to come back like that because there are things like Fluttermane that are that popular. That hits you for neutral.
So I think that the field itself allowed it to where, I'm not saying you can dodge Incineroars because I'm saying you're dodging the 30% Pokemon, but like you can dodge the Incineroars and like the answers to it are on the team. You have the Scarf Urshifu, you have the Specs Fluttermane, you can kind of, even like the Tornadus, like going with Rain Dance to lower out the damage output from Flare Blitz kind of helps. And also in doing so, boosting your Terra Water, Terra Blast to be able to put damage out that way.
That's the thing about this team, though, is like you have your Ndidi Iron Crown, but then the whole rest of your team is dedicated to trying to beat Incineroar. And so in the case of like Wolfie's Incineroar, that Terra Ghost would have been probably a hard thing to deal with because you don't really get to hit that thing super effectively with anything on the squad outside of Fluttermane.
I think the other thing with that as well with Wolf's team, so the Incineroar itself you can play around. One of the very difficult matchups that the Iron Crown that these Iron Crown teams has is if you have Incineroar plus Rillaboom, that duo, because not only is the Incineroar like just completely ruining your time in terms of being able to just click like the funny expanding force button, but the Rillaboom is also overriding your terrain, switching in and out there, and so it turns the game into a game of positioning, and the team with the two Pokemon that can click fake out...
That want to pivot in and out, yeah, and want to do pivot, this thing, they're going to be advantaged, yeah.
They're going, yeah, they're going to turn the game to a war of attrition, and they will win that war of attrition, because once you lose the Indeedee, then you're not get then your Iron Crown's not getting the damage output that you really want to put out.
Yeah. And this is the scary type of Indeedee, right? Like, you usually Indeedee can live like the knockoff from Incineroar if it's not holding an item.
Yeah.
So like that psychic seed use is usually pretty good. These Rocky Helmet they can get O-code pretty easily through a knockoff from Incineroar. You got to be really careful with your Indeedee calcs if you're doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because if you're looking at like the current Trick Room support in Didi, you're talking 252 bold, just like a 44 invest Incineroar is doing. It's an easy 2-hit KO. It's doing 60-70%.
You're probably wanting to click follow me because you don't want them clicking a move into your Iron Crown. And so you're probably eating two hits there instead of one. So that 60-70 is a lot.
Yeah. In general, though, this is a team that you need to be prepared for. I think that the Tornadus, Iron Crown, Indeedee spots are definitely the spots that are like, this is 100% locked in. And you, to an extent, like the Flutter and Urshifu are locked too. The fire types where you can go in a different spot. A lot of people using the Ogre Pond. Again, as I said, my friend used Chiyu. And to be quite honest, when I was initially looking at like potential teams for Regulation F, this six, but like with the Chiyu, was one I thought of. I didn't really move forward with it because I didn't feel like it was a team that fit my play style as well. And again, it's like I was afraid of the Incineroar. But I think it's just something that for those of you who want to play it, just go back to it. It looks very fun. We saw it a lot on stream, and we saw it do well on stream. This is your new size spam team.
I think the Chiyu probably fits better overall with the team in general.
Yeah, the damage output's just...
It's very special leaning. You really only have the Urshifu to make sure that you have a good check into opposing Incineroar. Like, the Chiyu just, it helps you break through a lot of those Pokemon on the special side. Increased damage, like, if your Indeedee goes down, you can still just click single target Expanding Force with Chiyu next to you, and you're fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a boost of Psychic type attack.
Ready for the final team in top eight?
Yes, please.
So the last team, this is just your this is a balanced team, one of the only balanced teams that we've really seen. Oh, you can kind of call Wolf's a team a balanced team, but
like, I would call Wolf's team's pretty close to balanced too.
Yeah,
it's not like hard TR like some of these other like Ursaluna teams are or anything like that.
Yeah, but this is definitely like a set like classic balancing that we've seen throughout Regulation, well, just honestly the entirety of Sword and Shield, Scarlet and Violet. I do that
about like, to say, that's a dollar
once,
sir. Dollar
once every jar. Few once every few episodes I do that, and we'll need like a supercut of me saying like Sword and Shield instead of Scarlet and Violet, and Dynamax instead of Terrastalization. We can get like a solid 5 minutes out of that. Raging Bolt being Assault Vest with Snarl on top of like the Amoongus and the Incineroar. That's a nice trio there. You have a lot of damage output with the Raging Bolt. Damage mitigation with the AV and the Snarl and the Intimidate. Parting Shot and Spore as well to really just like slow the game down, put your opponent to sleep, allow you to position your other Pokemon around where they need to go.
Yep. Looking at some of the other stuff going on here, I do like the Roaring Moon. We haven't seen a ton of it anymore, but I do like it still. It's funny, Carter sent me just a 2-mon paste earlier. It was just like Roaring Moon plus Smeargle doing weird things. I'm just like, I don't know what I can do with this, but we could look at something else, and maybe not Roaring Moon in this particular situation. I think Roaring Moon overall is just kind of struggling with all the new power that's coming to the format. Raging Bolt, Gouging Fire, both are really, really strong into it. Because a lot of the times Roaring Moon's not playing that dragon move. It's kind of just like, I'm a click knockoff and acrobatics or breaking swipe. Like, those are the moves I click. And so it's kind of just like a dragon type that doesn't get to take advantage of the fact that it's a dragon type a lot of the time.
Yeah, and even especially on this team, like it's the Terra Flying, D-Dance, Acrobatics, Knockoff, Assault Vest. By it being a Dragon Dance, you can kind of figure that it's probably the booster attack, which means it is putting out a lot of damage. The booster attack sets usually run 252 attack.
And this one is literally looking to get a D-Dance off, and just Acrobatics, off. Booster Energy, just wallop something and probably trade.
Yeah. Oh, well, you can trade. You do have two sources of redirection between the Follow Me and the Rage Powder. So, like, you and you have Fake Out support. So, like, you definitely have the tools to protect the Roaring Moon. It's just that, in general, I think a lot of it is probably a comfort pick for this player. They have used Roaring Moon a good bit on balance teams. Mm-hmm. And I think this is just someone who's used this archetype a lot, and especially these specific Pokemon of like Fluttermane, Roaring Moon, Amoongus, fire, like fire type, water type, and then filler spot. And it's just that like Incineroar is a great get for these balanced teams.
Oh yeah. Like that was the Pokemon they were been waiting for, was a pivoting Intimidate to reduce the damage that your opponent's going to deal, that can interact with them via Fake Out. Like, Incineroar checks all the boxes that a balanced team wants.
Yeah, and then, like, honestly, Ogrepan, Wellspring as well, as role, like, type, being able to condense the types of water and grass into a single Pokemon, and to also have the redirection, the bulk, and the damage output all in one. It's another Pokemon that's just perfect for balance.
Yep.
And then going into it, Raging Bolt is, like, you have the dragon type, Thunderclap does so much damage. It's another one of those moves that you just don't realize how much it's doing until like it's clicked into you and you're like, wow, my Fluttermane lost 60% of its health. Oh shit.
How did that happen?
It's like, wait, it's going to die next turn?
Like, I can't click an attacking move. What's going on here? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the top teams. Again, it's like a lot of the overall teams were focused around Vergarath and Blood Moon or Saluna in some way, shape, or form, whether it's one, the other, or both. I am winning like so hard with those two doing well. And then we do have the different types of Tailwind teams. Towards the end, we had, well, towards like our first place team and our 8th place team, two different looks at like balance and what it could be in this metagame. And I think there's just a lot to still explore, and it's just been a really fun format to play in. Like,
everything's a hard 8 top cut in VGC now, because if it was a top 16 cut, there was a P2 that was 16th place.
You want to throw up? We can throw the team up.
We ain't got time for that. We gotta get going. It's getting late.
Yeah.
Go check out Labmouse's post on the entire tournament. There's so much data here to unpack and look at. It's a lot. It's going to be so great to just go through all this, getting ready for locals that are picking back up now that the holidays are over and all that jazz.
Yeah. Shout out Tim for making one of the best tools. Shout out Literate Lessons for being the birthplace of Labmouse, Passers, and VGC Paste. Y'all VGC's lives would suck if it wasn't for us.
Yeah. We're the Mesopotamia of VGC here.
Of niche VGC tech tools.
Yeah.
You want to try doing the outro, or you want to make me do it with like zero prep?
You can do it.
I never do the outro.
It's easy.
Jay, I'm sorry. Thank you everyone for listening, for watching, for spending like an hour of your weeks with us. You can find us on YouTube, on your usual streaming places, Spotify, Apple, On Spotify, we are Spotify video, so you can actually watch along with us on Spotify. You can reach out to us on Twitter and on at LR Lessons, along with our multiple hash personal pages that Carl just puts in all of the descriptions. If you want to tweet directly at us, you can tweet directly at me if you're saying I did this intro very poorly. If you want to support us further on, besides just liking, subscribing, and commenting on our videos and comments, you can subscribe to our Patreon. And you can also get your name said if you are a $10 member, such as Papa Swish and Johnny Bravo Sr. You can also support us on Discord, like our amazing Discord supporter, Spiragol. Did I get everything?
Yep. Look at that. See, that wasn't so hard.
That was miserable. That
nah, is so it's bad. Fine.
That was just like the Mason Rudolph
we almost made it a whole video without you mentioning anything about football.
We fired Matt Patricia while we were recording, and I'm going to dance now. So I'm going to throw my dancing shoes on, everyone. Have a great night. Bye.